Hello everyone, to the next session, the session about the Java Version Almanac. The Java Version Almanac is basically a collection of data about the history and the future of Java, currently mostly presented as a website. And during the presentation, I will have a look how I created this data collection, why I created it, and some things I learned during this little side project. First, some words about me. My name is Mark Hoffmann. Actually, I'm a Java hacker since the very early days, since the very early public, the first public release, which was Java 1.0.2. Java at the time looked like this. This was JavaDoc at the time. There was no JavaDoc actually. This is basically web rendering of some documentation which was done with some word processing, and in total we had just eight Java packages. This was the whole JDK. So for example, if you look at the util package at the time, this was the whole util package. There was no data containers like map or list or set. There were only two implementations like vector and hash table. And if you look into that, this is how it rendered at the time, and this is how the web looked in the 90s. It was fancy to have like images for headlines, like the constructors or methods headlines here. Really nice. Also, the beginning actually of Java was, as we know, on the client side, and the entry point was the Java applet. And actually, my first commercial application I worked on was started with a Java applet, so embedded in the browser. And from the applet, you could start frames and open separate windows, but the runtime environment at the time was the JVM embedded in the browser. This is how everything started. Over the years, I became involved in open source development. Probably one of my best known projects is the Java Code Coverage Library, JACoCo, and its integration into Eclipse, called Eclema. And out of that work, mostly in the area of quality assurance and testing, I started to contribute to OpenJDK, and over the years I also visited many conferences and had opportunities to speak at conferences, and finally became an organizer of unconference, or helped to unorganized unconference in the J-Crete on the wonderful island of Crete, together with Heinz Kabutz and others. And a couple of years ago, I was also nominated as a Java champion. Let's have a look back how the early days of Java looked like and how Java was released. So after 1996, when Java 1 was released, we've got Java releases like every 2 years, 2 or 3 years. And these Java releases, they were released at one point in time, and we could use them for many years in project for production. And there have been updates, and it took a couple of years until there was the last public update of the JDK. So over the years, the API evolved, we got new language features, and the tooling, the compiler, everything improved over the time. But what we can see here is things evolved more or less slow. So for example, between Java 6 and Java 8, there was 8 years between those releases. So at the time, it as a Java developer, it wasn't very stressful. So you could learn a version, JDK version, the new APIs, and could work for that for years. And this also was criticized of Java. And I want to show you a tweet which summarizes this nicely. Like in 2016, people were complaining, Java is doomed. it evolves so slowly. Every good idea takes ages to be available. And just 2 years later, the perception was very different. Like, Java's doomed. It evolved so quickly, nobody will be able to keep pace. Daniel Fernandez tweeted that. I really like that. And if we look at the timeline after 2016, we will see maybe the reason why this is. Since Java 9, we get new Java releases, major releases, every 6 months, so two releases a year. And every release contains new features, new APIs. So Java now evolves really quickly. But if you have a closer look, it's like only every 3 years there's a long-term support release. So as you can see on this diagram, the feature releases between the long-term support releases are end of life immediately when the next release is done. So you probably will not use that for production because it's only maintained for 6 months and there's maybe one or two updates at most for these feature releases. So now every 6 months you see new features, and if you really want to keep pace and really want to attract the new features, you really have to follow the OpenJDK project and see what's going on there. I told you before that I'm also working on this bytecode library, the Jacoco Code Coverage Library, which is based on bytecode. And with all these releases, we get new language features, maybe new JVM runtime options for the bytecode processing. And this also leads me to the point that I really need to understand what are the new features of the virtual machines to make Jacoco available even for the latest Java versions. And you need to test that. We will see that later. So my motivation to start the Java Almanac was basically we have a high frequency of releases, and I was curious what are the new language features for each release, what are the new APIs and the new bytecode options which are there. And this is, for example, the test matrix for the Jacoco project. So currently we test on 13 JDK versions from 5 to 17 and make sure the tool runs smoothly on all of these runtimes. So how did it all begin with the Java version Almanac? So I did a lot of notes from presentation I attended or for presentation I gave myself. And over the years, I got quite a collection of information about Java. And at one day, I started collecting and writing down this information in a public GitHub repo. This looks like this at the time. This was basically just Markdown files, and you could browse them here on the GitHub interface. And I wrote down information about each release and what are the Java enhancement proposals for the JVM, for the language, or even in the library and the APIs, what happened here. Why Markdown? I mean, Markdown is a text format and it can be put under version control, so that's a natural way to work with. I also started using Markdown, for example, for presentations. So the presentation you're currently looking at is completely written in Markdown. There's a small framework called Remark.js, which renders the Markdown nicely as slides. And some people even write entire books in Markdown. For example, the one by Remy. It's called The Guide to Modern Java. I think it's work in progress, but it has some really interesting chapters, and everything is written in Markdown with lots of examples embedded here. You might have a look. And finally, I decided to convert that in a website to make it more accessible than the GitHub user interface. And this was actually when the javaalmanac.io website started. In case you haven't seen it before, the idea here is to have mostly reference information immediately accessible. For example, this version matrix provides direct links to the API, to the language specification, to the release notes, and there's also comparison between the APIs. So for example, we see what are the new APIs in Java 17 in comparison to Java 6. I will show you later how this is done, how this is created. So I wanted to have like a one-click reference because I basically created the project for myself, for my daily work. I wanted to see what are the new APIs and want to keep an eye on API changes. Also when learning new features, especially language features, for me it helps a lot to actually write about it and to write down how things work. This helps me in learning new things. So I wrote a couple of articles about new language features, and I call it in-depth content. We will have a look at that later. There's many distributions of OpenJDK nowadays, and the site should be vendor neutral. So also I included commercial distribution, commercial products on the site for reference, because if you live on Java and Java coding, you might end up actually using commercially supported products. And as this is a lot of content and this is all spare time work, for me it is important to automate as much as possible. So especially the data collection and the update of the data and the publishing should be automated where possible. I show you how this is done. This is a quick architecture view of the backend of the site. It basically uses GitHub infrastructure and a little bit of AWS components. For the GitHub, there's basically the repository where all the content of the site is stored and maintained. And the content consists of text files, again, Markdown. And wherever possible, I try to convert the text files into structured data, JSON data, to make it accessible also by other use cases or for other use cases. This data and the text is converted into a static website. And for the static website rendering, I picked the Hugo static website renderer. This is written in Go. It's very powerful, very fast, and I really liked this project. And it's actively maintained. You see a couple of releases every year. I really liked it. So in case you need to create a static website, Artos Markdown documents, really have a look at the Hugo project. The website is then stored on the created app website is then stored on AWS at three buckets, and along with static content which is not created by Hugo, for example, like historic Java doc or historic documents, I make accessible on the site. And everything is then made accessible through the web and with public endpoint, also with SSL termination, HTTPS, and here AWS CloudFront is like a handy and cheap tool to have a front end for your web projects. And it's also the web the front end for sandboxes, Java sandboxes. We talk about that in a minute. This is another nice feature I added to play with new Java versions. So as I told you, I try to be data-driven, work to be data-driven where possible. And I show you some examples here. For example, the information about every release is a structure, is a JSON document where, for example, release dates and documentation links are included. And with the Hugo rendering process, this finally then converts in a nice HTML website with all the information included here. The same is for the API divs. The API divs are created by some process. We have a look soon about on this process. And JSON files are created from the div. Here, for example, is a difference between Java 9 and Java 8. And here we see